We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
You know, I think testing and learning is really critical today, and we've learned that as important as delivering a great experience is delivering an experience that your customers want fast. And so the balance of speed versus perfection becomes important as you're testing and learning, creating an opportunity for your customers to engage in new experiences and provide feedback. We've been doing a lot of that down in Los Angeles, inviting their feedback, knowing that we've got something that's new out there. Please give us your feedback and we're going to make it better together.
I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. Today, I'm going to hand the microphone over to my very capable colleague and friend, Ellen Davis. Ellen, take it away.
Thank you, Bill. So if there's one thing Nordstrom is known for, it is great customer experience. And that's why we are so lucky to have the woman who leads innovation around that key element as today's guest. Shay Jensen, Nordstrom's Senior Vice President of Customer Experience, was recently honored at the NRF Foundation Gala as a disruptor on the list of people shaping retail's future. And in just a moment, we'll talk to her about some of the exciting ways Nordstrom is innovating to make our experience as customers even better. Today, I'm really excited to be joined by my co-host, Byron Carlock, the real estate leader at PwC US. Hi, Byron.
Hello. Thank you. And thank you for having me today.
You're welcome. And welcome, Shay.
Hi. Thanks. Glad to be here.
We are so excited for you to be here today. And congratulations on your recognition on the
list.
Thank
you.
We work on the list, it feels like, all year long. One of the things we were so excited about this year was that we had a disruptor that is really around a traditional retail brand. You know, lots of disruptors are coming from venture capital, innovation, you know, from a startup standpoint. But Nordstrom is a legacy company. And I think that is so exciting and so interesting because you guys are doing a lot of disruption as well. So I guess my first question would be, talk about how you think about disruption in retail. What does that look like? What does it mean? And how does it affect the customer at the end?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to hear the way you put that. What I would say, I take that back to the customer and the industry. The industry is being disrupted. The world we live in is being disrupted as we're in an increasingly digital world. And so for us at Nordstrom, we're just really focused on finding ways we can meet our customers' needs. More and more often today, that means finding ways to make it more convenient for them to shop for fashion, making it easier, making it ourselves available at a time and place that works for them. So I really think it's less about us being disruptive and more about serving customers in a disruptive world.
So more than disruptive, it's being responsive.
Yeah, I think, and anticipatory.
And so what drives someone to visit a store versus be online, and how do you relate to the customer in an omni-channel way?
Yeah, I think customers have a spectrum of needs. And I don't mean different customers. I mean, depending on, for all customers, it depends on what you need today and how you need it. And so I think what we hear from our customers is there is not a channel-based customer. Mm-hmm. There are just customers. And so I think that that is really our approach. We don't have a channel-based approach. We just have a customer approach. We are really focused on serving customers in the local markets in which they're living and working and hopefully shopping for fashion. And that really means leveraging our sort of national infrastructure, things like our merchandising, our technology capabilities, with serving customers, leveraging local assets of our people. I've always felt that people are one of our greatest assets, our fashion or our product and our places. So you mentioned our physical stores. Traditionally, we've been known as a store retailer, and by and large, we continue to believe the store matters a great deal. It's an important place for customers to access our people and access our product.
So we're here in New York at Retail's Big Show. You can hear the noise in the background, and you guys have some ambitious plans in New York. So you just opened your men's store.
Yeah.
Super exciting. You've got your new store opening later this year in 2019. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about how you guys think about the store experience today? What are some of the things you're excited about in your New York store and other stores to meet the needs of the customer, as you were mentioning?
Yeah, we are really excited. As you know, last April, we opened our men's store. It's up at 3 Columbus Circle. We've been learning a lot from our customers. as we think about opening the Nordstrom Tower, our women's tower, again, it's really about how we can serve customers in an ever-changing world. And in particular in New York, we know that speed is really important. Accessibility matters a lot. And so we're particularly focused on how our store can provide easy access, to our people, access to our product, again, at a time and place that is really going to work for New Yorkers.
Mm-hmm. And once a customer is in the store, what are some of the things that they're going to experience in this new delivery mechanism that they might not see in a traditional mall store?
Yeah, well, I think we're working on all of that in terms of how we think about opening our women's tower. But some examples of some things that we've done in our men's store, we have express returns to make it easy for customers to facilitate their online returns, 24-hour buy online pickup in store, reserve and try, which is a capability that allows customers to try before they buy. It's a mobile experience that we have. I think as we think about the tower, we're continuing to learn and really excited to bring the best of our services and experiences to our tower.
I just have to say, Shay, I think I'm one of your best customers.
Thank you. And you look fabulous.
Well, thank you. Thank you, I guess I should say. And I think it's because of what you just mentioned, right? I mean, you've got this consumer today who is very pressed for time, who's shopping at odd hours, who wants the convenience of being able to pick something up, but gosh, also wants the convenience of being able to take something back really quickly, that's shopping for, you know, special occasions, but workwear and also things for their kids. And so how do you approach that today as you think about embracing this next generation of consumer, certainly respecting and, you know, keeping your relationships with a consumer that has aged with you, but also bringing up this next generation? What does that mean from an innovation standpoint?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You alluded to it briefly. I think customers today expect speed, they expect transparency, and they want to be in control. And that's across a spectrum of needs, whether that's by quickly running in to facilitate an online return, or maybe pick up your order that you purchased online, or try on something that you reserved. Or it might mean working with a personal stylist in a 2-hour appointment in one of our stores. We know that stores offer opportunity for customers to discover fashion, to become inspired, to engage with our people. Customers today may want some fit expertise, so our alterations and tailoring program provides a great opportunity for us to ensure customers have the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's ensuring that we are not just one play, but many plays in our playbook of serving mm-hmm. customers. But again, taking that back to the many needs that we're seeing customers have today.
Yeah. How did you get into this business?
Well, I always loved fashion, and so it seemed rather appropriate that retail, that I would answer the retail calling. But I'll tell you, I started at Nordstrom many years ago. I was 15 at the time, and I started in our stockroom, actually, in Portland, Oregon. And I feel extremely proud and fortunate to work for our company, a place that allows a lot of opportunity. I feel as though I've had many different careers, but still worked at a company that I admire greatly.
But obviously moved toward this customer touch point experience. Was that always something that interested you?
You know, I think at Nordstrom, we want to make customers feel good and look their best. And so I've always been very passionate about sending customers out of the store, giving them a great experience and one that makes them feel good. And of course, we sell fashion, so we want them to look their best.
Those early experiences in a store when you're 15 or 18 or, you know, as you progress throughout your career, what did that teach you that you can apply in your work today?
Yeah, I think the number one thing is customer centricity. All too often, folks in business today get focused on an outcome. I think at Nordstrom, we really take all things back to the customer. And a great example could be some of the new experiences powered by technology, where it may be, you know, the greatest, newest, coolest technology, but if it is not rooted in a real customer problem or a customer need, it may not execute as well. And so I think we're really focused on making sure we address the points of friction our customers have, the needs that they have, again, taking it back to making it really easy, really convenient, and making sure we're accessible when it comes time for customers to shop for fashion. I also think another important lesson is that you stay curious. Again, in a disruptive or in an ever-changing world, this idea of becoming an expert isn't so easy. And so I think making sure you maintain curiosity about the people in which you're serving, in this case, our customers, has been critical.
What can we expect to see as the next big wave of trends in retail?
Man, that's a $1 million question.
I think it's really hard to predict, but I would tell you, I think we can all expect speed to continue to accelerate. And I think that makes it exciting, really exciting time. I think thinking about, you know, being 15 in the stockroom and how we were serving customers versus their expectations of how we serve them today, how dramatically that's changed, or even just 5 years or even last year. And so I think one thing is for sure, we could probably anticipate an acceleration of change.
And in the business, does that speed increase your inventory turnover? Does it change the way you merchandise? What things are you seeing as a result of that statement?
Yeah, well, what I would tell you again is that what we're focused on is serving customers, not as a store, not as a website, but as a retailer in the local market that they're living. So I think you mentioned fashion, but how do we think about creating accessibility to the inventory that's in the market, not just their store?
Thank you. That was kind of my next question, is around supply chain. So you guys, I think, were one of the first to have it figured out enough that you can source from your stores and your DCs. Again, getting to speed, I think, at the end, leading to a better customer experience and a more fulfilled customer, literally and figuratively, right? Talk about that. What does that look like? And also, to Byron's point, if speed is important, how do you make sure that a heritage brand stays so fast?
Good question, yeah.
I was going to say, great question. And I think also a really great example of the acceleration of change. So yes, we do have omni-channel inventory. So the inventory in our enterprise is available, whether you're shopping online or in store. However, we continue to hear from customers that 5 to 7, you know, business days isn't fast enough. And so this idea of inventory that's available in the market, Los Angeles is a great example of a market. It's our biggest market. We have 16 stores in that market. And so we're right now thinking about how we can make that inventory available to any customer in Los Angeles. And when we do, it can be as available as fast as next day. That's something that we're testing and learning with some new experiences down in Los Angeles, and that's resonating with customers. And so even the idea of faster as 5 days isn't necessarily fast enough for today's customer. To the second point of your question around a heritage retailer moving fast, I think testing and learning is really critical today. And we've learned that as important as delivering a great experience is delivering an experience that your customers want fast. And so the balance of speed versus perfection becomes important as you're testing and learning, creating an opportunity for your customers to engage in new experiences and provide feedback. We've been doing a lot of that down in Los Angeles, inviting their feedback, knowing that we've got something that's new out there. Please give us your feedback and we're going to make it better together.
So I lead the real estate practice, so my mind goes toward bricks and mortar. The opposite of speed is chill. And when you come in the store, what's happening to make you feel like it's a worthwhile visitation?
I think, first of all, the store represents a number of opportunities to meet customers' needs. In some ways, customers are there to discover fashion. They're here to become inspired, to see something new, a new brand. They arrive in our store because they want to see, touch, feel, try on. They want an experience by sitting down in one of our food and beverage areas, having lunch with friends, and then a nice shopping experience after.
So Ladies Who Lunch is not a dead
concept. No, absolutely not.
Sounds lovely.
You know, the store also represents an opportunity to access our inventory. And so online order pickup is critical and important as we've been building out new departments for customers to quickly grab their merchandise or quickly reserve and try. Reserve and try on has been an experience that resonates with really busy customers who shop in their own time, but come and try on at a time and works for them, and then get in and out of the store in 10 minutes. And so I think the role of the store is changing. There are many more additive experiences that occur in our store. And again, our approach is, how do we meet needs across that spectrum?
Can you talk a little bit about how this necessity of speed and acceleration of change impacts the vendors or the brands that you work with? How are you guys, how does that impact a brand or a company that might sell through a Nordstrom? Are there specific challenges there? Has that been fairly seamless? Has it required some of them to make some changes or accommodations?
You know, I think just like many many and potentially all retailers, I think everybody's trying to figure it out together.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we, our approach is to work with our customers, so too, we want to work with our brands. I think at the end of the day, we want to have really relevant product available for our customers. And I think working with our brands to make sure we offer that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that might mean finding new ways to accelerate through supply chain or, you know, new stores to offer new product in. I think we're pretty open and working through that together.
So if you didn't have this job at Nordstrom right now, which position at Nordstrom is the most interesting to you?
I love my job and I feel extremely fortunate to have this role. As I mentioned earlier, I've had a lot of different roles from mm-hmm. merchandising, being out in our stores, leading our store teams. I'm in love with this job. Every day is a new challenge. Feels like it's day one
mm-hmm.
after about 3.5 years. So I think any role at Nordstrom that is customer facing to me is a good fit because, again, there's nothing like making people look good and feel their best.
How do you personally stay connected to the customer?
I think there's a balance of things. Attending shows like NRF, talking with the competition, I think shopping other stores, getting out into our stores. Our people have an incredible pulse on the business and they like to give us feedback. So listening there. I think if I could sum it up, I would just say seeing the business, both our business and the lens of retail through the eyes of the customer. So becoming a customer, mm-hmm. shopping. Sounds fun.
Who have been your mentors in preparing you for this role?
I feel really fortunate in that I've had a lot of mentors, I think both inside and outside of Nordstrom along the way. I would say in particular, some of our executive team has been instrumental and supportive and, again, allowing us to take the business to new places mm-hmm. in the spirit of serving customers.
Mm-hmm. And was your education in retail, you started at 15, did you continue a retail education to move into the executive ranks?
Yeah, I did. I studied merchandise management. However, what I'll tell you is I have by far learned
more in the store.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we are almost out of time, but before we go, we have one more segment, Shay. It's called Rapid Fire. This should be fun, Byron.
Really
so here's
fun.
What...
I've got mine when you're ready for yours.
All right.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire. Thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
Okay, Shay, so for this segment, we're going to ask you some quick questions. Simply answer quickly with the first answer that pops into your head. Don't think too hard, and let's say keep it as short as a tweet.
Okay.
All right. Shay, what's always in your fridge?
Almond milk.
Okay.
$1,000 to buy for spring and summer. What items are you going to have?
New shoes.
Which new shoes? What's your favorite shoe brand?
A pair of new heels and a pair of new sneakers.
Okay.
Right. What's the last app that you put on your phone?
I downloaded an app called Team Snap to help manage my kids' baseball schedule.
Nice. Best book you've read this year?
Ooh, Creativity Inc. about Pixar.
That's a great book.
Yeah.
What is something that Nordstrom did in the last year that you've been most proud of or excited about?
We've opened our men's store in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
What's your happy place?
Pacific City, Oregon on the Oregon coast.
Nice.
Must see TV.
I do not watch a lot of TV. I will tell you that. I prefer reading.
Okay. Must see reading. Must see reading. Oh my gosh, I need more sleep. What do you read?
I read the news feed every day and I usually have a book on some type of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You look fabulous. What's your favorite comfort food and guilty pleasure?
Sour Patch Kids and fried chicken.
Yes.
Love.
Together is even better, right? How many kids do you have, Shay?
I have two.
Boys?
Two boys, teenagers.
Baseball. Yeah. And it's almost baseball season, so they're probably getting ready to go.
It's baseball season year-round in our house.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's the truth. Best advice you've ever received?
Be authentic.
Very nice. Very nice. Proudest accomplishment?
Working at Nordstrom.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we'll end it there. Shay, it has been an absolute pleasure to get to know you a little bit more today. And congratulations again on being named as a disruptor on the list of people shaping retail's
Thank you.
Future.
Congratulations.
Thank you both.
Byron, if we're ever looking for another host for this, I think Bill Thorne's got some competition. You've got the best podcast voice I've heard in a long time.
Thank you.
So we are so happy to have you here co-hosting with us today and appreciate PwC's support of this program.
Thank you, Ellen.
All right. So you have been listening to Retail Gets Real. Thank you for listening. We'll post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Thanks for listening. If you like Retail Gets Real, please tell your colleagues about the show or give us a rating on your podcast app.